Well, preparations had been made for the evening meal. It was the evening before the weekend that changed the world. And yet that evening supper became an integral part of the Friday through Sunday events that changed history. Matthew and Mark and Luke, they're quite clear about the events of that evening supper. And I want to read you a few words from Matthew, what he wrote about that evening supper. Matthew 26. Matthew says, on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says my appointed time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. The time, according to Matthew, is precise. It was the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That would be the day that they celebrated, the Jews did, the Passover meal. It was an annual ritual. Jerusalem would be full of people. Lambs all over Jerusalem were being slaughtered for the Passover meal. The religious leaders and political leaders, they were trying to hunt down Jesus, looking for Jesus to put him to death. It was a night where death was in the air. And on that night, Jesus came together in an upper room with his disciples, like everybody else, to celebrate the Passover supper. There are basically three things, I think, that happened at the Passover meal. There was, of course, the supper that would take place. They would be seated. They would have a roasted, unblemished lamb. There would be story. And the story at the supper would be how the Israelites had been delivered from Egypt and Pharaoh through a great exodus that God did for them. They were slaves, now they were free. And then there would be a song of celebration, celebrating that great deliverance. So supper, story, song was part of the annual ritual that went into the Passover meal. Sometime during that Passover meal, when they were eating, was when Jesus began what we know as the Lord's Supper. Somewhere in the middle of that meal, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, handed it out. Somewhere in that meal, he took the cup and gave thanks and passed it around and said, "This cup represents the new covenant in my blood." I think one of the things, among others, that he was saying is this, that a greater than Moses is with you. And God is going to accomplish a greater exodus through me than through Moses. Through me, the exodus will be for the whole world. It could mean delivery from evil and sin and death for the whole world. I'm the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. It's interesting because on that night, Matthew goes on and says, when evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, "I tell you the truth, one of you here will betray me." They were very sad and began to say to him one after another, "Surely not I, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he'd not been born." There was a dark side to that evening's supper. There was a betrayer somewhere at the table. You know, a lot of us have been betrayed by friends, by people we love, by people that we've actually trusted. You just have to look at the divorce and the broken homes all over the place, and you know that's true. Jesus, the with us God, was betrayed by one of his closest friends that he trusted, and he knows the anguish of betrayal. And one by one, the disciples went to Jesus and said, "Lord, is it me?" Every time we come to the table, the supper, it's a very good thing to go to Jesus one by one and say, "Lord, is it me? Lord, as I come to this table, is there some betrayal of your love in my heart that you want to point out to me? And if there is, please grant me the gift of repentance before I eat and drink. Then Jesus, while they were eating, took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and said to his disciples, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. At some point during the meal, it seems, not exactly sure when, but sometime during the meal, Jesus took bread. And then he blessed it, he prayed. And after he prayed, he broke it. And after he broke it, he gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body for you." All of the actions at that point visually describe the meaning of Jesus' death. Jesus is the center of everything. He takes, he prays, he breaks, he gives. Before you do anything for God, you receive from him. Salvation is all of God. It's a gift. And all we do is take open, empty hands and receive. Before we do anything, we receive from him. It's a gift. You can't add to it. You can't earn it. You can't perform to get it. You simply open your hands and receive the body, the blood of Jesus, as a gift. Can't go out and do anything until we receive. And then after that, he takes the cup. He lifts up a cup. He does the same thing. He gives thanks. And then he offers it to all of them with these words, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." This is my blood of the covenant. Covenant? Maybe another word that would help us understand is commitment. Maybe what Jesus was saying was something like this. The blood, the covenant, is like, was like marriage vows or a marriage certificate. The covenant means, I really mean this. I'm committed to you. Before you ever make a commitment to Jesus, you stand in awe at his commitment to you. We love him because he first loved us. The table brings us back to ground zero. It says salvation is a gift and all I can do is receive it. It reminds me that the commitment was first his commitment to leave heaven, to come, to be a sacrifice for my sins. And then my commitment follows from his commitment. This cup is the blood of my commitment to you. I really mean it. Your sins are forgiven. And then he says, for many, most all people that have studied that text will tell you that many means all. This is my blood of the covenant for the whole wide world is what it means. For the whole wide world, Jesus said. Not just for people coming out of Egypt, but now for the whole wide world. It begs the question, am I part of the whole wide world? If I'm part of the whole wide world, then this sacrifice of Jesus is for me. And I can come, no matter where I've been or what I've done, and with open hands receive the gift of forgiveness of sins, which is my greatest need. It positions me to be able to live a life, a new life, a life that pleases God. And then the bit that means the least to us, but the most to Jesus. Listen to this. "I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." I will not drink this again until I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. That's the language of party in the New Testament. What's Jesus saying? Well, a number of things, really, but among them, I think this. I'm not giving up wine. to make points with God. I'm not giving up wine because I want to build my character in some way. I'm not giving up wine to lose weight. I'm giving up wine because next time I drink it, I want to drink it with you around my Father's table, and I can't wait for that day. One of the things that's most important to Jesus at this table is what it anticipates, looks forward to. The day when we drink it anew with him in that great party celebration around the Father's table. He says, I can hardly wait for that day. The sense is, you know what it's like to have kids and you're going on a trip and it's a long trip and the question keeps coming up, are we there yet? Are we there yet? I mean, that you're supposed to take the bread and drink the cup with that same sense of excitement and anticipation. Are we there yet? But most of us, truth be known, we take the bread and the cup and we're so grateful for what happened in the past, aren't we? And we're grateful for the strength and the hope it gives us in the present. But really we push back from the future because it's good to be here. And we kind of face the future a lot of times with fear. Jesus faced it with, I can't wait. This was the most important part of the table to him. Sometimes it's the least important part to us. When you come and take bread and take cup today, let it fill your heart with hope, with excitement, with anticipation, because the best is literally yet to come, and Jesus can hardly wait to take the cup with you around his table and drink. The four actions at the Lord's table, the taking, the blessing, the praying, the breaking, and the giving. That's the shape of the Lord's Supper. But it also becomes the shape of the life of the people that participate here. They've received, they take. They give thanks for what they've received. With broken, humble hearts, they go out to a lost world and they give the good news, the message of Jesus Christ. Take, give thanks, break, give. It's the shape of the supper, the shape of the lives of the people that eat the supper with Jesus around his table. People have noticed for centuries, really, the different directions that the Lord's Supper takes. It looks back, it looks forward, it looks up to a risen Lord, it looks into a heart that's, is it worthy? It looks out to a lost world. All of that's part of the Lord's Supper. And it's my great honor and privilege, in the name of Jesus, who hosts this table, to welcome you to the Lord's table today. The table that proclaims that your sins are forgiven through the work of Jesus Christ. You simply have to lift up empty hands and say, it was for me, I need it, and take. Just receive. Take the bread, eat the cup, or drink the cup, and receive it. And remember that he did it for you. And as you eat it and drink it, remember that the better day is coming when with all of God's people we'll sit at a table so much bigger than this table with bread and wine, and we'll celebrate with Jesus at the head of the table. And he can hardly wait for that day. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give thanks for the bread and I'm going to give thanks for the cup. And I'm going to invite you to come. And this is where it gets a little bit crazy. But it'll be okay. I'm okay if you're okay. So what we're going to do is I'm going to pray and give thanks for the bread, for the cup. Then we're going to participate. And you're going to come up here. If you don't want to come up here, or if you're a little bit older than Pastor Stu, perhaps you might want to take the cup and the bread from down here. But we're going to go down both sides of the table here. And when you take the bread, and there's gluten-free up here too. And when you take the cup, just take it and eat it and drink it here. And remember the Lord. And there's waste basket somewhere you can dispose of this, but rather than take it back to your seat, why don't you just eat it and drink it right here with your family and with your friends? And there's three stations on each side, so I think what I've been trying to figure this out, and I'm not very smart, so I think this is the best way of doing it. I think the two outside wings will start first. And if you start from the back, it'll be even easier. But when you come down, if you stay to the outside of these stairs, this side, and if you go around the back here, that would be really good. And then back down the outside of these stairs and kind of make your way back. At some point, I think we have to cross. So we'll actually have to love each other and be patient, which might be a good thing at this table, really. If you're coming up these stairs, so that would be you lot here. You guys in the middle can figure out where you want to go, but if you come up the sort of the by here and come down this side here, I think it'll work. And if it doesn't, we'll be talking about this for a long time. So, but I want you to know, in the midst of all of the confusion and life of the family, the center of this whole event is Jesus hosting you with the bread and the cup. The preacher, he tells you with words that God so loved you. When you take bread and you take the cup, well, those are literally the hugs of the Father and of Jesus who say he really means it when he reads those words. Let me pray. Father, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, and on this Good Friday, to take some time to worship you and to worship him is our highest honor. We would have nothing if it wasn't for this weekend over 2,000 years ago. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son to die for our sins. And thank you for this reenactment of the founding act that just carries on forever until Jesus comes to remind us that we're here as people who've received from your hands the greatest gift that we could ever receive, the forgiveness of sins. And so we thank you for the bread on the table. We thank you for the cup on the table, your commitment to us, that you really mean it when you say that our sins are blotted out. So Father, would you meet with each person today in your Son Jesus as they come to this table, for which we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We'll be playing and worshiping a bit, and you know, just don't hold back. At the backs, far sides, you come first, and this side, back of the table, this side, front of the table, and let's celebrate the Lord's Supper together.